Thank you, Lori. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the land of useless things on Facebook, this week's thing has been, do you hear Yanni or do you hear Laurel? It's a little bit like, is the dress white and gold or black and gray or blue or whatever the case may be? In this case, it's a little harder to discern what color the dress is or for that matter what you're hearing because it all depends on your ears, apparently. I, for one, hear Yanni. I've tried it on multiple different devices. I still hear Yanni. The New York Times website had it had this little sliding scale thing where if you drag it, you can change the pitch and the tone, and eventually I heard Laurel. And then you refresh the page, and it stays where it's at, and you hear Laurel, and then you go up to Yanni. So I think it's something with their thing. But no, I'm a Yanni person. Scientists have tried to describe it and explain it, that it's the way our ears are tuned to different frequencies. In that age-old, not one of us is the same as our neighbor. Anyway, I thought it was interesting and maybe a little bit of a God thing that this showed up on Facebook just as we were coming into Pentecost. Pentecost, literally meaning 50. It was not a Christian construct. It was an old Jewish tradition. 50 days after the Sabbath during the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which we now call Monday, Thursday, so the Sabbath would be Easter. So for us today, Pentecost is 50 days after Easter. It takes place during the Festival of the Weeks, which marks two things. One, the all-important first wheat harvest in that land, and it's apparently the anniversary of the day that God gave the Torah to the nation of Israel gathered at Mount Sinai. It's one of those kinds of things where Jews from all over the world would gather in Jerusalem and worship and fast and pray and be together as large community. Enter the disciples, now the apostles, because they've replaced Judas with Matthias. They've gone through, this is the last 50 days. They've gone through Good Friday. They've gone through the resurrection. Jesus has been walking the earth with them for a while. And then he ascends to heaven. And so that waking nightmare of his death with the bright sunshine of his resurrection is back into the gloom of Jesus is not with us anymore. So the 12 say, well, let's go to Jerusalem and gather in that upper room and just be together as family. I recognize that. It's that dream when somebody that you love has died in a tragic way and you go to sleep and you dream that they are just fine and they walk through the door in your dream and they're fine and nothing ever happened. And then you wake up and they're still gone, or they're gone again. They're back in that place of grief. They're back in that place of heartache. They're back in that place of, do I have to get out of bed in the morning? They're gathered together there in the upper room. They're gathered together to have that time together to celebrate the Festival of the Weeks, to be together for Pentecost, when all of a sudden, enter Holy Spirit. It's like a cue in a script. You've had God the Creator, you've had God the Son in the form of Jesus. He's left and gone back to heaven. Enter Holy Spirit. This mighty wind comes rushing through the room, and these little flames show up over everybody's head, and they start speaking, all 12 of them start speaking in different languages. Now that sound, the sound of the wind, big, big wind, and the sound of the cacophony of the 12 of them speaking in different languages gathered a crowd outside. It would be if we all started screaming in different languages and there were as a gathered group standing downtown this afternoon when everybody's there for the car show. They'd all gather and say, "What is wrong with these people?" The people gathering outside, some of them stopped long enough to listen, and they said, "Wow, they're declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." And that's a little confusing because every last one of these 12 guys is a Galilean, but they're speaking in my language, and I'm from Mesopotamia, and they're speaking in my language, and I'm from Phrygia and all these different places. And some people thought, "Gee, what does this mean?" But by and large, the gathered crowd's reaction was, "Gee, they must have gotten into the new wine." Translate that. "My God, they must be drunk." They must be drunk. They can't possibly understand what they are saying, and we can't possibly figure out why it is. They have to have been hitting the good stuff this early in the morning. The problem is there that I see is that the gathered throng was more concerned with how the disciples were speaking as opposed to what they were actually saying. Oh my gosh, is that a problem today? How many times do we find that we ourselves or the people we are listening to, how many times do we find that we're more concerned with our preconceived notions and not with actually hearing what a person has to say? How many times do we walk into a conversation and already have formulated in our mind what our reaction will be based on who that person is, what they look like, what side of whatever they're on, and we don't listen to the words coming out of their mouths? I remember this is a Nora story. It's a little less Lydia and definitely more Nora. I remember when Nora was about 2.5 years old. She's the now 8-year-old niece who lives in Traverse City. And she'd be telling somebody something, me or grandma or grandpa or Auntie Anna or whatever it is, and she would walk over and she would grab our faces and say, "Listen to the words coming out of my tongue." What? "Listen to my words." We don't do that. We are so quick to snap to an idea that so-and-so has to be saying this because I'm already pre-biased to think this about this person. I'm already pre-convinced this is what this person is saying without actually stopping to listen, without actually stopping to say, "Whoa, what are they saying?" The gathered crowd must have had thoughts about the 12 gathered in the upper room. I mean, these were Jewish people gathered for the feast. And they knew that the 12 were a little weird. They followed that guy who taught all those things and did all that stuff. And they have to be a little touched in the head. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. This is the gathered crowd talking, not me. It can't be outside the possibility that they've been into the new wine at 9:00 in the morning. They're a little weird. They follow that Jesus guy, and they walked around here for the last 40 days, kind of hiding and kind of proclaiming, "Hey, he's not dead anymore." How many people do you think did not give them the benefit of the doubt and just pass them off as being the 12 that followed that dead guy and didn't bother to listen to what they were actually saying? So Peter stops them. And Peter says, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, listen to my words." Nora's a Bible scholar and she didn't know it. "These people, my brothers here, they are not drunk. After all, it's only 9:00 in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. He goes through and he reads back from the prophet. It's prophecy fulfilled is what he's saying. He says, stop and listen for a minute. Quit thinking we're the crazy guys that followed Jesus, who, by the way, you helped kill because you called for Barabbas to be released. And, you know, you passed him off and you say, you know, all this good stuff. He proved, we know, this is the good news we know. He says, Peter says, fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourselves know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, meaning God already knew it was going to happen. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to a cross. God raised him up. God freed him from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth. Jesus is risen and God did it. We didn't make it up. We're not as crazy as you think we are. Our words are valuable and are needing to be listened to and not prejudged. I don't know about you, but I fit in sometimes with both groups of this story. I fit into the group that says, listen to my words, but I also fit into the group that says, I've already prejudged what's going on with this person, and I don't need to listen to them because they don't have anything valuable to say. Now, half of that is okay, and half of that is what we're called to do. The half that says, listen to my words, I have something to say to you, and the other half is sin. It's not okay for me to say, I'm not listening to you because I have preconceived notions of what it is you're going to say, and I've already decided that I don't like it, and I've already decided I'm going to be against it, and I'm not giving you the chance to speak your piece. What do? We stop and recognize. We need to be able to stop and recognize those things inside of ourselves. Wow, I'm not giving that person the benefit of the doubt or the opportunity to speak. We need to stop having, for lack of a better term, locked and loaded biased responses before a conversation even starts. You have to stop long enough to listen to actually what's being said. There's a country song a while back, it says, what if Jesus comes back like that? It's talking about the baby born to the drug-addicted mom and the homeless guy living in the box and the, you know, all this. What if Jesus comes back like that? We have to stop long enough to listen because it just might be gospel you'll find when you do. And on the flip side of that, we're called to go and spread. We're called to go and spread the good news of our risen Lord. We're called to go and spread the good news of the love God has for his creation, which includes all of us and all of our neighbors. We're called to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves, and we're called to share that light, to share that love, to be that blowing of the wind. We also have to advocate for ourselves, and for those who are voiceless, who have been silenced more times than not, we have to be able to say, hey, don't shut that person up because you don't agree with them. They have a voice too that was given to them by their creator. You have to advocate for yourself. Hey, I have a voice. Listen to the words coming out of my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. This world is not of God. I mean, he created it, but Evil has such a strong hold in this world. It's like last week. It's going to try to hush you up. It's going to try to tell you your words don't matter and you have lost your mind. And you have to be able to advocate for yourself and for those who cannot do it. You have to be able to say, hey, they have something valuable to say because that might be Jesus walking next to us. Let the Holy Spirit come down, you guys. I almost made headbands for everybody with little flames on springs so we could pull them out and put them on and remember that we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. I thought that might hold till next year when I have more time to think of it than the drive back on Saturday afternoon from Detroit. But it's important because we need to remember and be mindful that there's a bit of God light in each of us, including ourselves. And it's important to share that God light with the world. Bob's been bugging me to sing this little light of mine. Think about how that goes. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Won't let anyone it out. I'm going to let it shine. God gave you a light. Hold your light up. You can do this. Hold your light up. Is your light actually your pointer finger? No, it glows inside of you. But it's your job. It's your calling. It's your God-given right. It's your God-given responsibility to share that with the people around you. And that includes listening. And it includes making sure that you also are heard. So go, share the light, live in the Spirit, and when you feel that breeze blowing your hair around, say, yeah, I see you, God. Amen.